You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Continuing our look at the first quarter of the Saints' season schedule, Tampa, Browns, Giants. We've gone there. Talked about some of the biggest acquisitions, the offseason moves. Bottom of the hour, Carlos Medina from Atlanta. We'll touch on the Dirty Birds. Game three of the first four for your New Orleans Saints. Also coming up at 1:15, Rafael Esparza just sat down. He's observing. Minute two, almost minute three of Brazil and Belgium. A shot on goal. It stopped. Brazil trying to get an early 1-0 lead. France defeated Uruguay 2-0 earlier today. What are you shaking your head for, Jordan, the intern?
You're not a soccer analyst.
Yes, I am. No, absolutely, I am. Welcome everyone to the weekend. Say it.
Welcome everyone to the weekend.
It's Friday.
Paying attention is overrated.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, paying attention is overrated.
Yeah, I know you're not paying attention today. Welcome to hour number two of the Sports Hangover. We are live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Gus Kattengill, Brian Enola East to my right, and also Jordan, the intern. Got plenty of NBA storylines we've been touching on here as well. Matt Moore joined us in hour number one. Jordan, if people missed the Matt Moore interview, what do?
You go to SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. You go to our Twitter. Link will be there, or you could go to our podcast.
There you go. Easy enough to catch any of those interviews, including Kyle Kelly, who covers the Browns and gave us a little lowdown on the 0-16 Cleveland Browns from a year ago. I do not think, Brian, you as well, that they will be winless this year.
No,
I think they're going to win a few games. They take on the Saints on the 16th of September, game two. That is the second straight, by the way, here in the Dome. It's Tampa, Cleveland, at Atlanta, at the Giants. And yesterday we spoke with Ryan Dunleavy, that covers Giants up there in New York, and they start out Jaguars, Cowboys, Texans, Saints, Brian. One of the points I made yesterday is that's three defenses pretty good that they have to face right there. Now, Schumer was the Vikings offensive coordinator, so he'll be familiar, obviously, with the Saints there as well. A lot of criticism was going over on Eli Manning. I kept saying, dude, every time I watched the highlight, he was getting sacked left and right. He didn't have any protection. He really didn't have a run game, didn't have much of a passing game. What did you want him to do? The fact they went with Saquon Barkley, did not go with a quarterback. Ryan even said, it's Eli Manning the next couple of years. They're not even thinking about another QB there. So when you take a look at the Giants, I think it'll be an interesting game, but I think it's definitely one that the Saints, I'm putting, should be able to win at New York.
Yeah, I got the Saints winning that one as well. This is going to be one of the times where the Saints actually have the schedule needed to set up for a fast start. Most of your games are at home. You got some division opponents, so you actually put some space between you and them if you can win them both. I think this is set up, and of course, I believe it's four out of the first five are NFC opponents.
Yes.
So you have a chance to kind of just get out to that early lead, that race, and kind of lead it. And
right. We
know what happens when the Saints get off to good starts.
Washington's game five, so
Correct. That
gives you the idea when it goes to that. One of the other things, obviously, look, that they lost some things on defense, and let's see what a new team will sort of look like. Again, look, you're getting them the fourth week.
Yeah.
So they've had three games leading into that. So, we'll see when it comes to that. Tampa, we spoke with Mike Neighbors yesterday about them. They got JPP.
Mm-hmm.
They've added more players over on defense as well. Brought in a center. Obviously, the big thing is Jameis Winston suspended three games. He says don't be surprised if Ryan Griffin pushes Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know, I've been seeing that a lot and hearing that a lot coming out of Tampa, that they really loved Ryan Griffin last year. And, of course, he's now there. I think this is another year into the offense. We know that when they got Lovie Smith was eventually replaced by Dirk Cutter. Now you have the same offensive mind in the building for, consecutive years. It would not surprise me to see Ryan Griffin not only win that job, but be the reason why once Jameis comes back,
right,
we don't hear from McCown again. I'm sorry, Fitzpatrick.
I know we've talked the last several weeks about the future of maybe what Jameis Winston can do and where he goes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they part ways. I just don't think they sign him to a long term deal.
Correct. I don't think he gets cut this year.
Yeah.
Or traded, because I don't think there's a trade market for him based on what's going on. But I think once next offseason comes around and the Buccaneers are like, adios.
That's what I was going to ask you. Suitors. If you don't think that you're going to give him a long-term deal, do you trade him because you might as well get something for nothing?
You could trade him, but you'll never get back proper value.
No, you're not getting a first-round pick.
Yeah,
you're not getting that. But what I'm saying is, well, if you get something instead of nothing.
Yes, I could see that happening. Or maybe you hold on to him because they can always offer him, you know, I guess, keep him in place if they want to use a transition tag or even pick up the fifth-year option. They can always pick up that year and then trade him. So they have options, and maybe you create a bit of a bidding war because you'll always have teams that are going to need a quarterback.
We're going to talk to Carlos here at the bottom of the hour just in 30 seconds here. Falcons, right? I mean, are they the team that the Saints have to worry the most about in the division? I think yes.
Yes. Yes, no question.
Now, we saw that the number one pick, Calvin Ridley, yesterday signed his contract. He's, you know, not that anybody thought he wasn't going to, but he's signed, sealed, delivered. Julio Jones is not. Do you think that's a bigger issue?
Yes, it's a lot
bigger. Being reported?
It's a lot bigger than what people are trying to make it out to be, because it breaks up everything that they've preached over the past 2 years, that brotherhood situation.
There we go. See?
Wait a second.
Come on.
Oh, I'm feeling it.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm feeling it.
We are all here to do what Falcons do.
What do Falcons do, Gus?
I would love to know what exactly Falcons do. But, see, here's the thing. I want to make fun of them, but, Brian, they were a play away from the NFC Championship game just like the Saints last year.
Yes. In fact, I think if Falcon fans won't allow you to tell it to them, but the Falcons were in a better position because you have first and goal at the 8-yard line with Matt Ryan in the offense with the ball. You should have walked away with the win. You lost the game 15-10. That was your game to win.
When we spoke to somebody in Atlanta during the golf tournament, remember on Thursday, it was the first round of the Zurich Classic. I forgot who we spoke to. But he said that the main thing that the issue was the offense. The offense coordinator was Tarkisian. And not getting it. He said, it's going to be better this year. Another year under. I mean, if you remember, before Shanahan became this great offensive coordinator in Atlanta and they went to the Super Bowl, do you remember Matt Ryan and Shanahan the first 2 years?
They struggled.
They hated each other. Yeah. They did not care for one another, right?
Yeah, they struggled
to
build an
offense. So we will see where that sort of goes. And, you know, and look, I'll say this. I don't know for what it is, but, and we'll ask Rafael Esparza his take, but Jordan the intern pulls up Sportsline for whatever that is, right? I don't know. I mean, Rafael's squinting. I don't know. It's just Sportsline.
For the Super Bowl. Super Bowl odds.
Right, well, I mean, we have the odds maker here, but this odds have New England, Philly, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, L.A., Green Bay, Los Angeles Chargers, Atlanta, Houston, Jacksonville, Oakland, then there's New Orleans.
Cleveland.
The disrespect that the Saints get sometimes, even from the odds makers,
I want to ask Rafael this, if he's feeling it or he's getting it. Because, again, I am somewhat surprised. Now, they did come on late last year. But you see this. You live on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you live on social media. There are a lot of people that feel the Chargers are a playoff team this year, and the Chargers are going to make a run in the AFC.
I think by default they have to, because the Chargers, they do one of two things to make you, you know, completely confused and completely mad. They're either going to start off really, really hot and fade towards the end of the season, or they start off horrible and then they get hot towards the end of the season. Either way, you never know what's going on, but it just seems that injuries always get in the way of this team. If they could ever stay healthy, they're a perennial playoff team.
Are we discounting what Kansas City might be able to do? I mean, they've been a perennial playoff team, and a lot of people feel maybe they got upgraded at quarterback now with Pat Mahomes taking over.
I think
A lot of weapons.
Yeah, Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. For some reason, he just seems to make it work. But unfortunately, you still have a rookie quarterback out there.
Okay.
So I think that's the downfall. It's the idea that you have a guy who's not used to seeing those defenses make those coverages. And, okay, maybe you can see on film that, you know, maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers lined up a certain way, but they also lined up a certain way because Alex Smith was back there, not Pat Mahomes.
But we've also seen some success from some young quarterbacks here in a year or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, you know, obviously the more he played, we saw Garoppolo really start getting his chance. But again, those are guys that had some time under there, but I'm with you with Mahomes. But yeah. I think that Kansas City's a playoff team, though, is what I'm getting at.
They,
right?
Have, the, so they have the pieces to where Mahomes
doesn't have to win.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
he doesn't have to do it all by himself.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is this. Gruden's impact on the Raiders.
None.
The Raiders, hear me out. Two seasons ago, right, Carr didn't get injured day in the AFC Championship game.
Yes.
Against the Patriots.
Yes, I agree. They possibly go on to win the Super Bowl that year. I agree with you.
Do you not think they could contend in the West?
No.
Why?
They have no shot. Because John Gruden is their coach and Derek Carr is their quarterback.
Wow.
They still have to figure it out. I mean, we only know of John Gruden the last time we saw him at Tampa. We don't know this John Gruden, and he stepped away from the game for a while.
We know this John Gruden. We see him all the time, every year, after the draft, before the season, quarterback school.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what else? He loves every single quarterback that
he
meets during that time. Yeah,
exactly,
he loves everybody.
Well, he knows. You don't think he knows? He knows.
Oakland still has some things they have to do to shore up their defense. They better hope that offensive line can remain intact, because that's what got Derek Carr crunched up. And not to mention that, but again, you have John Gruden has that old school approach with a lot of new school players.
Oh, and a goal by Belgium off of a corner kick.
This
and,
is what I wanted from the
header.
World Cup.
This World Cup has been insane. Rafael, we're about to go to the break. When we come back, it's your segment. Can you pull up what the odds were for maybe the quarters or the semis or even winning before the cup? Do you have that? I would love to know, because they've been a lot of upsets. There have been teams that maybe a lot of people thought were going to get in there that didn't. But this has been such an unpredictable World Cup. It's been fantastic. But beautiful corner kick, and actually goes off of a Brazilian player who was trying to head it out of there, and he actually heads it in.
It's
elbow. Shoulder.
It's elbow.
Yeah, elbow or right shoulder. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. His family should move now.
No, he's done.
Yeah, his family should
As a matter of fact,
move now.
Condolences to that player's family right now, because I'm not laughing.
No, it's
like
serious.
I'm not being funny.
No, it's serious.
You were just
over there.
Laughing, though.
No,
while you were saying that.
Sports Hangover continues after this. We'll bring in Mr. Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, as we like to call him, as we'll talk a little bit about the odds. The NFL the NBA free agency hasn't changed that much, especially with some players wanting to go here and not wanting to go there. It's nuts when you think about it, man.
I can't wait. I hope this is just only the start of the chaos.
Really?
World Cup chaos, NBA chaos, NFL chaos. Okay. Give it to me.
Well, tell you what, we'll have a lot to talk about here when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover, live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. We will return on ESPN New Orleans. Doc Sports is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Mr. Vegas is how we like to call him. Rafael Esparza joins us each and every Friday. Rafael, how are you?
A little wet today. I mean, my plane got canceled because of rain and flooding, and now I'm here in a crowd in New Orleans because of SS Fest, and
yes.
It's raining.
Yeah,
so
no, you were disappointed. You were heading to Costa Rica.
For a little work,
yeah.
And
that's what you
flooding.
Call it, little work. Little
you know, everyone thinks my office is by the ocean. It's in San. It's in San Jose. Type this in your computer,
okay.
San Jose, Costa Rica, and then see how far the ocean is for where.
Okay.
Or so it's not.
Okay.
It's about an hour and 45 minute drive to the ocean.
All right. So it's hour and 45 minutes.
Because you have to go through part of the rainforest, and yeah, it's not like my office. I'm sipping. Drinks out of
cocktails.
An umbrella,
okay,
and watching.
Right.
I tell San Jose is like Tijuana, Mexico. That's
but
what I tell people.
Essentially, your office is your laptop, right?
Yes.
So couldn't you just hang out on the beach all day?
When I have to go there for the MyBookie clan, it's I have to shake hands and kiss babies and either get yelled at for we lost on this prop or any other business.
All right, so speaking of if you made money or lost on props, did you guys see a lot of the moves that took place on Sunday, Monday in NBA free agency?
For me, I think we all agree. I think LeBron was going to go to LA.
Right.
That wasn't a big shock. I was just shocked with the Boogie Cousins. I was shocked that the knucklehead Lakers now got McGee. I was more shocked on the little moves than anything else. I think some teams that people are not sleeping on, I think Utah, Denver, teams that got really improved in the West that can maybe land a nice 4 or 5 spot in a playoff spot. I think the East – continues to be the East, but don't be sleeping on Utah and Denver this season.
See, that makes me upset because, Brian, we talked about Utah. That was a team that we'd not want the Pels to face in the postseason last year.
Not at all. And speaking of teams like that, who do you think drops off? Because I think Portland is in for a rude awakening. I think they're going to come back down to the middle of the pack a little bit more, and maybe one of those teams like the Lakers or like you're talking about with Denver, maybe they jump up in those spots instead.
Yeah, I think Denver and Utah jump up. I do agree with you, Portland. I think Lillard, if they don't move up in the playoffs or even make the playoffs or even show any kind of progression, I think they might dangle him and see what they can get and maybe hit the reset button with Portland. We have odds. Will the Lakers win a championship this year, next year, for all of LeBron James's 4 years contract? And wow. The bettors are saying they're not going to win this year, next year. They're saying either his third year or fourth year.
What I've been surprised this week is you're not seeing the – again, maybe it's not because of this year and next year, but the flight of players, although Rondo and McGee, again, you could say, that are trying to go out to L.A. and play. But let's just start with Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, it's just been baffling, the reports this week, right? He'd rather go play with the Clippers rather than the Lakers. They want to play with LeBron. Yet most of last season, everyone was like, dude, they both want to go play together. It's, you know, he was sequestered when he was in New York, so the Spurs medical staff couldn't see. I mean, are you surprised this is the Kawhi Leonard that's coming out now?
I'm actually surprised we haven't heard a word from him. YouTube, Periscope, Twitter, MySpace, something. Do something. Say, because I think his image is getting just trashed right now, and I feel bad for the guy. I've actually met him when he was playing at San Diego State when I was right in Vegas full-time.
I think he's getting bad advice.
I think he's getting horrible advice right now. And I think that's why I think he's either going to be a Spur at the end of the season or he's going to be in the East Coast. I don't think he goes anywhere in the West. He's not going to the Lakers this year. He's not going to the Clippers this year. I think it's either East Coast, maybe Boston or Philly. I'm hearing maybe a little bit chatter of Washington maybe. Just those three teams. Other than that, I think he's a Spur. Don't forget, I think it's the end of this month or end of August that the USA mini camp starts. And guess who's the head coach for that? Popovich. Guess who's going to be there? Kawhi Leonard. So maybe things get settled then. And I still think he's either – I think he's going to be a Spur when the season starts.
Really?
And either they trade him during a trade deadline or he just sucks it up and plays and goes to wherever he wants to go after the season.
Rafael, what are the odds that a guy like Boogie Cousins actually comes? What are you seeing any prop bets on exactly when he comes back? Because I've been here in December. I think it's personally going to be around January-ish. So are there any prop bets right now to when Boogie comes back and what type of impact that'll make for Golden State?
Brian asked a question without seeing the latest Boogie Cousins video. Hashtag no doubt. Hashtag resurgence. He's knocking down threes. He actually took like two steps to the elbow and knocked down a jumper. Apparently you didn't see the latest video today.
One question.
Huh?
Who was he playing against?
Well, technically nobody.
Oh, nobody.
Yeah.
So they're not playing games.
All right, fine, Rafael.
I seen that same video with Gordon Haywood, and I think he had a worse injury than Boogie Cousins' Achilles. But we're projecting sometime after Christmas, probably early January. We're not expecting beginning of the season, November. I would be highly doubt if we see. Now, we have odds on who the Lakers are going to play on Christmas Day,
and really?
Golden State's minus $2, Celtics Ooh. Plus +350. So we have that. I think if for some odd reason they play on Christmas Day, maybe he dresses on Christmas Day, but I still don't think he plays until January.
I'm just saying, I mean, look, his latest video is help is on the way. I mean, you know, I just.
Oh, really? You know what? That's very poetic because that's exactly what they're going to say when the ambulance comes to get him again.
Oh, stop it.
Ask Chauncey Billups how long it took to rehab an Achilles.
Man, the disrespect you got. Look, he walked off the private jet perfectly fine.
Of course he did, because he's not playing basketball when he's doing that.
No, yeah, I think you're underestimating the ability for him to come back to start the season.
I think people are just overreacting with the signing itself. You figure the Warriors bench is really depleted now. No McGee, no David West. They have no big guys right now. They got Boogie Cousins, but they're probably going to get a Boogie Cousins at 60-70% all season long. So they're not going to get an all-star book. They're not going to get anything close to what you guys saw here in New Orleans. They're going to get a 60-70% Boogie Cousins all season. He leaves after 1 year, gets his ring in Golden State, and goes somewhere else.
What is Kyrie Irving doing?
There's another one that's probably getting some bad advice. I used to do a lot of stuff for AAU guest speaking and talking to coaches and recruit when I used to do some stuff for scouts, and stuff. And I would just see so many people just saying to these kids that they're the greatest thing that sliced bread. You're going to be number one.
See, Brian?
And the families believe it. And I think they just continue to hear that advice to that same person. And that same person's probably whispering into Kawhi's ear, to Kyrie Irving's ear. And they're just getting bad advice.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. You can have that. You can want to go to New York and do all that stuff. Again, I think this is another guy that loves the attention, wants to be the guy, wants to be the reason you mentioned with Kawhi.
Those two need to hang out with Paul George.
I hear you, but my point is, it's just, why would you do that going into a season that you're on another team? You get what I'm getting at? It doesn't – keep that to yourself, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
I understand what Kyrie did in Cleveland. You know what? LeBron was holding him back. He couldn't sign an extra contract. He couldn't do that because he didn't know what the king was doing. What he's doing now in Boston, I have no idea why he's doing.
I don't either. It's funny you say that, though, because are we thinking that Boston's maybe a better situation than it is?
If you want to win, I think, yeah, because they're in the East Coast. Who else is going to compete with them? The only team that I think be a surprise team in the East, and you can't even really call them a surprise team because they're going to be playing on house money, is the Toronto Raptors, because they don't have to play LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. So if you're the Raptors, you're like, our kryptonite just went West Coast.
All right, Screaming A, sorry, Brian. Screaming A saying Damian Lillard, he wants out essentially. Could see himself either a Laker or a Knick next year. What are the odds that maybe if Kawhi doesn't come, that maybe the Lakers start talks to try to bring Damian Lillard?
I think he'll end up he'll end up more in the Knicks than I think the Lakers. He's from the East Coast. I mean, remember when the Lakers had this guy like Karl Malone on their team and everyone wanted to play with these guys after the next season, and then they tanked and the Lakers did nothing, and then everyone like, hey, you know what, we're going to choose our own destiny. I think these young guys, Damian Lillard and all that, I think they're going to want to choose their own destiny because I think they know that this 4-year contract of LeBron's is his last contract. So why would you want to piggyback, go somewhere else and play with the unicorn in New York? You're from the East Coast. I think he has a better value of going to, unless they trade now, if they trade Ball, let's say over the summer and stuff like that, then maybe they're going to implicate it, trying to get him sooner or later. If they keep Ball, then why would you want to get Damian Lillard?
I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because now there are reports coming out yet again that Jimmy Butler is unhappy in Minnesota. First he's feuding with Wiggins, and then now it's Carl Anthony Towns. It just seems like that's a dysfunctional mess. And for such a great head coach, or at least perceived to be, in Tom Thibodeau, he can't seem to ever keep a locker room together or guys healthy. How do you see Minnesota playing out?
What I heard is that Wiggins and Kyle Towns are buddy buddies. They were there for the get-go before Tibbs and Butler came, and I think that's where the headbutting is coming in. I think over the summer it can get smoothed over, but if it doesn't, then I think during the trade deadline, let's say if Minnesota starts off slow, then I would think during the trade deadline you might hear some grumblings.
Rafael, this World Cup, Belgium leading Brazil right now 1-0 in the 27th minute. France has moved on. They defeated Uruguay 2-0. But some of the big teams, obviously Germany, Spain, I mean, Russia's still involved with Croatia, and you got England
Sweden
tomorrow. What were the odds to start? Who would you say, what did you have as the odds for the semifinals?
Funny that Germany was 4-1 to win it all. They were one of the favorites between Brazil, and they're not even anywhere to be found anywhere. Just to reach the semifinals, Brazil was even money. Germany, even money. I think the only team that surprised me the most that lost was Germany. Spain, they looked horrible the last 4 years. I mean, how do you pass the ball over 175 times and not shoot the ball at the net at one time? I think the biggest thing is probably to reach the quarterfinals. We had Germany and Spain minus $6 just to reach the quarterfinals, and neither of them reached the quarterfinals.
So who you got winning it right now?
I was impressed with France today. I mean, granted, they had to play a shorthanded Uruguay, but these young pups from France are really quick. I kind of like the Brazil, but they're down right now. I think Croatia beats Russia tomorrow. I think it's going to be either 0-0 or 1-1 going into penalty kicks.
Oh.
And I think I think Croatia takes the penalty kick win tomorrow. In England, I know the networks are probably sweating because they want Brazil and Neymar to be on there. But if it's France or England in the finals, they're going to still get good ratings. But I know the networks of Fox is probably sweating right now because they already lost Messi. They lost my wife's second husband, and Ronaldo. So they need Neymar in there.
It's funny you say that as we close up here. France, though, apparently has a player that on
19 years old?
Yeah, and they're saying, hey, look, this could be the next, you know, guy that takes Messi or Ronaldo's place. And, you know, they're saying, hey, look, maybe he is the guy that goes into it and moves forward and is, you know, the guy that everyone is excited about.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of France, they have young putz, Enigma, I probably pronounce his name wrong. He's big and tough. He's probably going to be there for 8 years. He's probably not the biggest star that England has, but I think his toughness is going to be on there. But for England, it's all about Harry Kane. I think his youth still, Kane, is probably going to do a lot of wonders for England. And I think Dyer, also, who's a young guy for England, I think them two are going to be in there as well. Harry Kane is going to be a name that people are probably going to hear about big as well.
Kylian Mbappe, is that his name?
Yeah,
that's it, right. That was my way of pronouncing it.
Yeah, he's fat. He's quick. And he's got toughness.
ESPN.com has today, after the France games, like, is he ready now to take on as the world's best? So
his shoulders are his big that he can push people around and work around the ball. Right. And I think that's probably his best tactics.
Nice. It'll be interesting to see for sure. That's Rafael Esperanza. You can join him over on Twitter at VSI.sports, the way to follow him online. As always, appreciate your time.
Thanks.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, it's the weekend.
Nothing, you know, on the Cubs winning six straight. Nothing.
Nothing. I will say, you know what I'm working
Who's
on right now.
Who's getting Machado?
Phillies want him badly, but I think it's going to be the Dodgers.
That's the last team I needed to hear.
I think the Phillies want him badly, but I would not be shocked if it's the Dodgers. I would not be shocked if it's the Dodgers.
And Belgium has just scored again. 2-0. 30th minute, Brazil is down two goals.
And the networks are very mad right now.
Wow. Sports Hangover continues next. We are live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. We'll go to Atlanta. Carlos Medina will give us the latest on the Dirty Birds, the top storylines going into training camp for them. We'll find out when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, I feel good right now.
Yep, exactly.
I'm spreading my wings, baby. Yep. I'm spreading my wings.
All right. This is what it is.
Why do you think I'm wearing red and black?
No, you're not. Stop it. All right, let's do what we have to. It's part of what we have to do. We're looking at the first quarter of the season. Tampa Bay Browns, Atlanta, and the Giants to give a take to what's going on over in Hotlanta. It's Carlos Medina. 680 The Fan at Front Office Los is the way to follow him over on Twitter. What's going on, Carlos? How are you, man?
No complaints here, guys. I'm sure it's about the same over there. Hot, muggy, it's the Southeast. What can you do?
Exactly right. Look, man, we're kind of looking at, you know, that first quarter season, breaking down the seasons and, or the schedule rather, in quarters. And there's Atlanta, at Atlanta on the 23rd. So we're kind of looking and seeing maybe biggest losses, acquisitions, things like this. But It's almost like I feel very similar to New Orleans in that both teams probably feel you're a play away, right? Julio Jones makes the catch, maybe you're in the NFC Championship game, and you're kind of in position to maybe continue to make a move to try to get deep into the playoffs this year.
Well, you would hope so, and it's the same thing in New Orleans. Everything with Atlanta, especially this year, is all about trying to make sure that they get a lot of these guys back under contract, get them into long-term deals, and figure out what you're going to do with Julio Jones. You know, this has been kind of like this hostage watch that we've been on with Julio ever since he decided to not show up to any part of the offseason program, which, by the way, he has never done that during the course of his career. He then basically held out a mandatory minicamp, and he's made it clear, despite not saying anything publicly, all the word around the campfire is that unless he gets some more money pushed into the early part of his deal, he doesn't plan on showing up to camp. So that's where everything is. For as much as we all talk about, hey, we're a player away. We should have a great season. We'll be right back in the playoffs. Let's see where it goes. You've got to take care of your best player, and that's been a problem because he has 3 years left on his deal.
Carlos, this is Brian, man. First of all, good to talk to you again. Been a long time.
Absolutely, and, Ryan.
Yes, sir. Secondly, man, it's an idea of what Julio doing, what he's doing right now with the holdout. How is that affecting guys, you know, that come around the team? Because, you know, the Falcons have been built under Dan Quinn as this brand of brotherhood. So what's that doing to the locker room right now with him being out?
That is the million-dollar question. All of mandatory minicamp, the guys basically treated it the way you would imagine NFL players would treat it. It's not a worry for us. We're not thinking about Julio. It's all business. He'll get it taken care of. He'll be with us when he needs to be with us. But keep this in mind. You know, New Orleans is going to be in a very similar situation a couple years down the road. They've drafted it so well that now they're going to have to get those guys into second contracts. Atlanta is entering into that area where it's Deion Jones. They've got to decide what they're going to do with Vic Beasley. Keanu Neal is going to be another one of those guys in the next 24 months is going to have to get a new contract. Well, that's the problem, is that you've now created this precedent where you have to decide, do I take care of the best player on my team with 3 years remaining, yet I've got to tell other guys you got to wait your turn? That's the big problem right now. Do they set the precedent of having taken care of a guy with 3 years left and guaranteed money, or do you make him wait until a little further down the road? As it stands, since 2008, when Thomas Dimitroff and that group took control of the team, they have never done a deal with somebody that has this much left on their contract.
You take a look at the offseason and free agency and in the draft as well. Is there anything that kind of is highlighted, a big loss, or maybe some acquisitions? I mean, Calvin Ridley saw yesterday online, you know, signing his contract and another LSU player going there. But what would you say overall the offseason was like for Atlanta?
It was all about replacing the size up front. When Dontari Poe decided to sign with the Carolina Panthers, he had signed a one-year, $8 million deal here in Atlanta. And his whole role was to keep the linebackers clean, keep Deion Jones clean. You know, the Falcons play with a smaller, fast defensive group, and so they really need guys up front that can occupy blocks and keep the linebackers clean. Well, we spent the entire offseason. Remember, Matt Ryan needed a new deal, and then obviously the stuff up with Julio Jones. Much of their cap space was tied up trying to get that sort of stuff done. So they were not really able to jump into free agency and address that defensive line the way they wanted to. They ended up drafting Deidre Sanaa, the defensive tackle out of South Florida, to be one of their one techniques. They brought in Terrell McClain, who's obviously bounced around the league a little bit, formerly with Washington and previously with Dallas. That is who they're hoping can really fill that role. And so if you want to talk about what's going to be the big thing to watch with the Falcons, what could be a possible Achilles heel, it's going to be that defensive line up front and what they're able to bring back.
We're talking to Carlos Medina at Front Office Los. Also, you can find him on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And, Carlos, I kind of want to, I guess, maybe piggyback off what you're saying a little bit and look at the offense and what's going on between Stark and Matt Ryan, because we saw year one was pretty much a disaster. But we also saw the same thing when it came to Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan. Do you think year two is going to be much better, or is it going to be much of the same and those guys not being able to get on the same page?
Well, I tell you, you want to talk about the direct opposites. I think Falcons fans are all hoping for year two under Kyle Shanahan. I think Saints fans are hoping for more of the same from Stark. You know, keep this in mind. To call it a disaster, I do not think that that's overplaying the hand at all. You're talking about a team that lost 12 points per game on average from their offense. They went from scoring in the 34 points a game, 33 points a game, all the way down to 21. So it was a significant change in what happened offensively. The team has brought in Greg Knapp. He formerly was the offensive coordinator here back in the days when Michael Vick was playing quarterback. They brought him in as the quarterback's coach. Now, the team has not said this, but I think everyone's pretty much gotten the idea of what's going on. Greg Knapp is supposed to be the second set of eyes and the experienced guy who can help out Steve Sarkisian. If Sarkisian continues to struggle, I would not be surprised if Greg Knapp is then just placed right into that offensive coordinator role. So it's a really big year for Steve Sarkisian.
With you saying that, Carlos, it kind of reminds me of what happened with the Saints when they brought in both Dennis Allen and had Rob Ryan. Do you see it getting that bad to where it happens, you know, if the Falcons start off slowly, maybe within the first quarter of the season, that a change is made that quickly, or would they give Steve Sarkisian some rope to kind of maybe hang himself with?
No, I don't think he's going to get that much rope. And here's the real trick of it all. The Atlanta Falcons, with Dan Quinn, did not interview anyone else for the offensive coordinator role. It was a guy in Steve Sarkisian that Dan Quinn had a relationship with. He knew who he was, and so he immediately made the hire. There was no process by which they interviewed a bunch of people. So this is Dan Quinn's guy, and because it's Dan Quinn's guy, if he has any kind of problems, if there's one thing we've seen with Dan Quinn, he has no problem. For instance, 2 years ago, he took back control of the defense. He said, I'm going to run this thing, get out of the way, I'll handle it from here. If there's any kind of struggle, I don't think they're going to give Sark a whole lot of rope. I think that's going to be Greg Knapp's position if they were to get off to kind of offensive struggles that they had last year.
Wow.
Very interesting. Let's wrap up with this, Carlos. When you take a look at, obviously, I know here in New Orleans, the start is super huge, right? I mean, can you believe, as a matter of fact, you probably know this. It was the Falcons here in the Dome, right? Kenny Vaccaro tips the pass in the end zone, intercept the Roman Harper to secure it on, what, fourth and goal?
Yeah.
That's the last regular season home regular season opening win for the Saints. It's the last time they won the opener. So a quick start's big here in New Orleans. But when you look at Atlanta, I mean, you can almost argue that really, especially at that very beginning, right? Eagles to start the season, then Panthers, Saints, the first three games are pretty tough considering two are division opponents.
And keep in mind, too, in the first 5 weeks of the season, this thing is going to be at Philadelphia and at Pittsburgh. So you want to talk about needing a quick start and having to play well within the division. Granted, the Falcons are going to be at home against the Panthers and at home against the Saints. But I think we've seen it. We saw it especially last year. This is the toughest division in football as of right now. Maybe it's somebody else this upcoming year, but last year the NFC South was the toughest division. I think that if you want to have the kind of season you want to have, you got to beat your division opponents at home. If you struggle, if you slip up against one of them, it's really tough to go, hey, we lost the Saints at home, but we'll go get them over in New Orleans. That typically is not the way that it plays out with when they face each other.
Carlos, as a guy who covers the NFC South and the Falcons as well, how do you guys view what's going on with Tampa Bay in that situation as far as, like, maybe outside eyes looking in? Because, as of course, as division rivals, we always keep an eye on what's going on. So how are you guys in Atlanta viewing what's going on with Jameis?
I would kind of say it's like this. It's like those neighbors down the street from you where they're constantly arguing. You're glad that's not your house. It's kind of like that. You go, oh, they've got some problems. I'm glad it's not my house. I think it's the same thing with Panther fans, Saint fans, Falcon fans. Hey, y'all got a mess. You got a 3-alarm fire. I'm glad it's not us. Y'all deal with that down there. As long as you can basically say, hey, that's the one team in the division that can't figure it out, it makes it a little bit easier for at least a couple games in this division.
No doubt. FrontOfficeFootball.net. Go check out that website. Carlos Medina at Front Office Los is the way to follow him over online. And 680 to Fan up in Atlanta. Thanks for your time this afternoon, man. Enjoy the rest of your time during the summer.
Thanks, big brother.
All right, take care, guys. See ya.
Yep, for sure.
Always good. He's always good. He's money.
Man, let me tell you, that's a that's interesting.
Yeah.
Not having the offensive coordinator. So – yeah, they already have. It's like Dennis Allen. They brought him in waiting. Mm-hmm. You saw it. I mean,
immediately knew it
when they hired Dennis Allen to be co-coach. It's his defense.
Dennis Allen, former coach for the Saints, returned, and all of a sudden we knew what was going on. Greg Knapp, former coach of the Falcons, and we know pretty much according to Los what's going on right now.
It's just again, it was very odd. You know, I don't know. It just didn't seem like that meshed at all last year.
No, it just seemed like a total.
Again, that's the third or fourth person that has flat out, that's covered team. Like, it was, you called it disaster.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that's strong. And he doubled down on what you said.
Yeah.
30 plus points to 21 is a big drop in football.
Extremely, especially for an offense that's supposed to be, you know, quick strike fear into the defense. Of course, they had that running game that kind of, where'd it go? Man.
It just seemed like there wasn't a rhyme or reason to the play calling.
No, not at all. I mean, it seemed like Stark was guessing and he didn't know his own personnel.
I did like to hear, though, in that interview that maybe one of their question marks could be their D-line.
Mm-hmm.
Saints' strength.
Offensive line.
I would say it's an offensive line. Backfield as well. Tight end. I think you could make – I like hearing that.
Of course, especially because the Saints seem to have, you know, their guys, they're going to be back healthy. A healthy Armstead goes a long way for the Saints' offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so there you have it. Tampa Bay, the Browns, Atlanta, and the Giants, their first four games. Noon kickoffs for the first three. The Giants in New York is a 3:25 kickoff. Two at home, two on the road, Atlanta and Giants being away from the Dome. So that's how the Saints will start the first quarter of the season. Take a break and come back and kind of recap what we did there. Not only with Carlos, but also just that first quarter. Again, after talking to everybody, I definitely see 4-1.
Yeah, I think 4-1
I feel 4-1. I honestly
think
do.
4-1 is
realistic. Let's take a look. Why are you shaking your head over there?
He does this every year to us.
He
every
does.
Year.
I mean, what is 2-3 better for you? Does that make you? No? Is that what the odds say? 2-2 is what.
Wow. What does he think? It's a love connection or something like that?
2-2 is what he says. All right, let's take a look at it when we come back. Let's take a break. It is the Sports Hangover live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on ESPN New Orleans. We'll get back, Joe. Browns, Atlanta, Giants.
Tampa, I'm going to give the Saints the win. I think depending on quarterback, how that game turns out. If it's Fitzpatrick that's quarterback, that game is going to be a little bit tougher.
I think it's a win regardless. Next.
Yeah, no question. Browns win. I think the Saints win by 30.
Okay, so you're 2-0 in Atlanta. That's the loss I get.
Atlanta is the tough one, but I'm going to give the Saints the advantage on this one as long as they don't have anybody reffing the game that used to be a former Falcon.
Okay, anyway, and the Giants?
Giants, that's going to be the tough one for me. I think
really?
If there's a potential loss, yes, because I think you're coming off a division opponent, and then you get the Giants on the road. That's back-to-back road games. I think that could be the trip-up. I
All
think
right,
the Giants
so
get it.
So let's bring in Vegas because he's just shaking his head over there. He kind of looked like a bobblehead doll. I mean, the head was just going every which way when I said, I think 4-1 before the bye. I said I could see them, you know, doing that, and he held up 2-2 for the quarter. So, all right, Rafael, pull it up. You did. Tampa Bay, season opener, who's favorite?
Well, right, there's no line on that because they're still waiting, but I've heard we're probably going to – if Jamerson's out, which most likely it's going to be 10, and if he's playing, it's probably going to be anywhere between 6.5 and 7.
So the Saints are favored either way, more than likely.
Yes.
Do you see that as a win?
I do, but don't sleep on this Tampa Bay team. I think knowing that they're – I heard they're practicing knowing that he's not going to be there.
Oh, come on, man. You got no confidence. It's Sean. It's
I didn't say they were going to lose.
It's home opener, the season opener. This is Super Bowl, man. Come on.
I gave you guys a W. I see the W in this one. But
I know, but you don't sound confident.
No, I think you're going to go in thinking, oh, no Jamerson, easy W.
Jordan was like 3 the last time the Saints won the regular season opener. I mean, it's been a while. It's time to break the trend.
What is he now, 10?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was 2014. There you go. Brian.
Yes.
The Browns.
Oh, I told you, I got the Saints about 30.
Rafael.
We have anywhere between 13 and 14. That's probably going to be up there.
One of these days you're going to listen to me.
All right, okay.
But there's a W right there. So there's my two wins right off the gap. Back-to-back two wins.
Well, at Atlanta.
I think Atlanta takes this one. I think it's going to be a lot closer. We're probably going to put up anywhere between 2.5 or probably 2.5. The public will probably bet Atlanta.
I'll take 3 or less for sure.
So I'm going to take Atlanta. It's going to be a close game. I'm seeing like a 26-23 game, something like that. Field goal in the fourth.
Thank you for saying that because Jordan the intern earlier in the week, and he just texted me just now because he doesn't have the headset on. Saints by 14. I'm like, dude, no, I don't see at Atlanta a 14-point win.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be too close. I mean, these two teams know each other.
Right.
It's a division game. Just why, like, that's why I think Tampa Bay is going to be a lot closer game.
Why is Brian and Oli shaking his head?
Because prior to, well, first of all, me hearing Jordan say it, I mean, once he said it, it was pretty much a lock that the Saints would win by 14.
Oh, boy.
But once I heard Carlos come on just now and talk about the dysfunction that's going on in Atlanta, they don't handle that well over there.
So you, what if, okay.
And if you pay attention to this.
Rafael,
schedule?
Eagles in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Philly favored?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I do, too. The day they get their ring, I don't think they're losing that game.
Yeah, because Stallone will be there. They'll probably lose.
Stallone's definitely going to be here. So, all right, so 0-1. Panthers at home, maybe feeling
Bingo.
That pressure. Is that what you're saying there? Offense doesn't click?
It's not just click. It's the idea that it's a division opponent. So now you get the Super Bowl champs. That's going to be a tough physical game because the Super Bowl champs are going to want to prove that they're the better team. Then you get a division opponent who hates you anyway because pretty much everybody hates Atlanta.
Well,
now you get the Saints, a team that really hates you.
I don't hate Atlanta.
No, wait a minute. If you're 0-2 going into New Orleans, I absolutely don't think it's a 14-point win or 30-point win.
You know what? Greg Knapp might be calling plays by
that time.
That's
fine. And guess what? I think there's no way they're going to
Is Julio even going to play?
Well, that might help to the 0-1, maybe 1-1 start or 0-2 start.
Oh, yeah.
I could see them losing. Carolina always plays. Carolina always, they go in there and they play Atlanta pretty well.
They do. So that's going to be a tough game. Cam Newton is from the Georgia, you know, Atlanta area. He always wants to win that game. I can see them being in the 0-2 hole. And now you got the Saints, the team that hates you most.
Man, I don't know, man.
0-3.
All right. Anyway, the Giants at New York. Rafael.
I like the Giants. I think they're going to have a much improved team this year. I think everyone's thinking it's going to be Eagles. I think everyone's talking about Washington. I think Dallas is, I have Dallas probably right now being maybe in the cellar in that division. I think the Giants are.
Dallas being in the cellar.
I think the Giants are going to be a very much improved team, a brand new system.
Think Washington with Alex Smith will be okay?
Yes, because Alex Smith, I think he controls a game. He doesn't really do that much stupid stuff. He doesn't throw the ball down low and get intercepted. He just plays smart, and I think that's going to be helpful for Washington. I like this Giants team. I think they win. That's why it gets 2-2.
I think if there's any game the Saints can lose, and I think I called that, I'm not going to say the Saints will lose it, but if there's any game the Saints can lose, it's the Giants game because of what Rafael said. And again, you had back-to-back home games, then back-to-back road games. I think the second trip of a road game could be a little bit difficult, and I think they'll get a heavy, heavy, heavy dose of Saquon Barkley. It could be one of those games to where the Saints abandon the run, want to pass the ball all day long. With the win.
Well, I'll say this. I think 2-2 would be very disappointing to start the season.
Yeah, they're going to go 4-0.
You're going 4-0.
They're
going
to start off 4-0.
Where'd they go 4? You guys went from 3-1 to 4-0.
No. I said it.
Were they going to go 5-0 in a four-game
pass? He has it going five straight.
I got 4-1.
I'm going to put this up right now at mybookie.ag. Okay. Will the Saints go undefeated? Yes, it's going to be minus 600. There you go. They're going undefeated now. They're going 16-0.
Put me down. For a bill on that one, because I'm going with the Saints, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is on this one. Saints 12-4 this year.
12-4.
Watch.
Wow. He's getting dapped from everybody.
I called 11-5 last year.
Brian,
check the tweets.
That.
If it's on Twitter, it must be true.
Jordan, the intern, shaking his head.
Falcons playing a home game at Super Bowl. That's my prediction.
I'm
going to go NFL conspiracy theory on that one.
Hour two is in a book. Sports Hangover coming back at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans.